All right, My Mars Project, welcome back to the show. This week on the after show, we're going to be back to our normal format. Last week, we did a show which included... We basically did like the 10 things that were holding people back in their training. And you guys really liked it. So we're testing it a few different formats. And in the near future, I would say within a month, we are going to be releasing more shows in the week. That's right. New formats, more shows. So more content for you guys to consume. And hopefully some stuff that's a little bit different that you really enjoy. So we're just going to keep trialing some stuff. But today we're sticking with the after show now. We have big news. Before we get into it, we have tried the True Protein Bars. I know you guys have been waiting for this. You know how much we love protein bars. And so I thought that, you know, this is like such a special moment in supplement history.
Well, for people that, if you haven't been listening that long, I'm so obsessed with bars that I literally gave myself a health problem eating so many Quest bars.
Yeah.
So it
a gut irritation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I even had withdrawal systems when I pulled them away. So a good tasting bar is close to my heart.
Well, I also know you like bars so much because that one day where we ate that blue dinosaur bar, I can't remember what flavor it was. We picked it up at a gas station. It was so disgusting.
Mm.
Like, it was so... I took one bite and I spat it out. And I basically compared it to like dried vomit. You know when you like throw up and then you don't like wash your mouth out properly and the next day you wake up, you can still taste it. That was the taste in my mouth. You finished it.
I ate all bars. I love bars.
I mean, you didn't enjoy it, but you finished it. You're dedicated.
Yeah. When I was like probably 14 years old, my dream was just to have enough money that I could just buy, like walk into a store and just buy any protein bar I want when I get into that store.
Oh, your dreams come true.
And I was like, when I get there, what else would I need? Fortunately, it's turned out I needed some more things. But still is a really, really enjoyable part is good protein bar.
So I think what we're going to do is we're going to break it down into taste, and then we're going to break it down into the health content of the bar, like the ingredients and stuff.
The unimportant stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that'll give it an overall ranking. Now, this bar was 4 years in the making. Have you got the ingredients listed?
Yeah, I'm just bringing them up right now.
But I think what most people are here for is if you've been dabbling in the bar industry as a consumer, as we have, I think anyone in fitness that's ever tried to put on muscle has probably picked up a bar from time to time, then you know that it's, you know, taste is the toughest thing.
Mm.
Taste is easily the hardest thing to get right. So I knew going into this that if they didn't have, even if they had the ingredients dialed in, it still comes second to taste. Because there are some great bars out there in terms of their ingredients list, stuff that you would definitely, you know, be eating in a regular diet, but in a bar form that tastes terrible, you're not gonna think about it.
It's tough, and there's ingredients like avoiding things that are just unhealthy.
Yeah.
Then there's also just the macros of the bar, because then you get some bars that do have healthy ingredients, like super low on the ingredients list, like really bad oils or sugar alcohols or too much of that or something like that.
Preservatives.
But just the macros are really out of whack.
Yeah.
So there's like heaps more fat, not very much protein at all. And then it's just like hard to regularly fit that into your diet.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to consider.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. So we're going to like now, I think probably what'll be best is if we just go purely off these three categories. So we'll add that extra macros category and then... I'll just rank it in what I think is just like the all-time list.
Yep.
The all-time list. So, first up, we'll start with the least important when you're considering how often you'll buy and eat these bars, which I'm going to say is the ingredients.
Yep.
So, it's obviously important, but it's definitely the least important. So, what do we got?
They start off with tapioca, almonds, dates. So, remember with ingredients that the first ingredient is the most. So, the ingredients are always listed by volume.
Yeah.
So, obviously, like Himalayan sea salt is laughed. It's not much salt.
Yeah.
So, you've got tapioca, which is an organic soluble fiber.
Salt bar.
And you've got almonds, dates, whey protein concentrate from New Zealand, which is very important because usually you're getting soy in a bar, soy protein. And then we've got hydrolyzed bovine collagen peptides, tahini, in brackets ground sesame seeds, natural cacao, chia seeds, natural chocolate flavors, organic extra virgin coconut oil, Himalayan pig salt. And importantly, that is the end of it. There's not like a list of numbers and preservatives after that.
Yeah. Do you want me to read the ingredients next time? And screw up so many words. That's pretty good. How many ingredients was that total? 11? 12?
Yep. I think about 1, 2, 3, 10.
Ooh, it's pretty good. Man, I mean, if you look at those ingredients there, I mean, they've taken home a lot of prizes, a lot of medals at the conference. I mean, at the World Bar Awards, not many people can say that they have that quality of ingredients. Now, obviously, that's what justifies the high price point of the bar. I think it's going in at like $5.50, $6 Australian. But with those kind of ingredients, you can eat them and know you're not going to have health issues. Health issues is probably a bit extreme. You're not going to get a gut irritation.
Yep.
You're not going to get a headache. There is a certain Quest bar. It's like the Hero Quest bar. It's got allulose. It's like a sugar alcohol. Mm. Apparently, how it works is, obviously, it tastes sweet, but when it runs through your system, your body doesn't absorb it. I ate that, and I had a migraine.
Mm.
And I thought it was maybe just this one-off experience. I asked my brother. He said the same thing. So, I ate one more just to test it. Same again. What fucking bar gives you a headache when you eat it? That's crazy.
Well, I get migraines from not eating bars, so I get the opposite.
Dude. It is like, there's, so my point is, there's some dodgy shit out there on the market. And it's just nice to know that there is a reputable Australian company which has gone through obviously stringent testing from the Australian government and the food health services that we regulate to produce a very, very high quality list of ingredients. I'm absolutely pumped with the ingredients.
Yeah, the ingredients are great because there's like nothing you don't want. And the important thing is the protein is good quality.
There's nothing in there like individually that you wouldn't like spoon it into your mouth.
No, Himalayan sea salt.
I mean, you, like a little bit. Not a full teaspoon, like just a dab.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
No, it's good. The ingredients, like a spot on you, and you just can't really fault it. I mean, obviously, there are products with, say, 5 or less ingredients, but it's not like anything they've added to make it up to 10 is like bad or dangerous in any way.
Yeah, like imagine if you, like if you were putting the bar together and you laid out all the ingredients in front of you, none of them would come in a test tube with a guy in a lab coat. Yeah.
Which doesn't always mean it's unhealthy. Just because it's not like supernatural, but they've just avoided all that stuff altogether.
It's just nice to know that they just haven't just even gone one ingredient from that list.
So they've done a really good job. I think in terms of the ingredients, they've nailed it. And you can't really get much better.
Yeah.
And then what we're going to go to next, the macros.
Yes.
So the macros, we have 17 grams of protein, 10 grams of fat, 8.5 grams of carbohydrates.
So, what's the ratio? Well, how many protein was it?
17.
17. Yeah, so it's like...
It's like a 2-1-1.
Yeah. I mean, fat in a bar that is using... I think fat is used as a preservative in a lot of these. Like, oils are used as preservatives or as a substitute for preservatives, I believe, to keep the bar, like, from crumbling and holding, binding all the different ingredients together. So... That's why you use egg in a cake, right? From the yolk, it like binds it all together. So, having some presence of oil is very necessary. I think it'd be hard to get it under 10 grams.
Yeah, pretty much every bar I see starts at 10 grams of fat. Yeah. Like 9 to 11, it's really the point.
Yeah. So, keeping it under 10, I think they've done pretty well there. I couldn't imagine them getting it much.
They're really good. I think the bars that I usually don't eat are the ones that are really, really similar to this, except the protein's 8 or 9.
Yes.
So, it's half. So, they've nailed it. I mean, some bars that I think use more preservatives do get the macros slightly better.
Yeah.
They can go even higher on the protein, be like 21, 22.
Yeah.
But like in terms of like most people's whole diet, it's a pretty trivial difference.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's a 10 out of 10, but it's probably like an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. They've done well. They've got a good amount of protein in there. They've kept fat as probably as
moderate as they can.
It'd be on the high end of acceptable is what I'd say. Yeah.
And then you obviously keep carbohydrates low because that just keeps it a broad appeal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like some CrossFitter or something, you probably don't care, right? You're going to have a lot of carbs in a day. But for broad appeal these days, like you've just got to keep the carbs pretty low.
Yeah.
And then if we move on to...
Well, hold on. But I was just going to say, if I picked up a bar that has... I'd say I would never eat a bar that had... Unless I'm desperate and I haven't eaten much there, I would probably never eat a bar with 20 grams or more of fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter how good it tastes.
Mm. And that's...
Not regularly.
Like, yeah. I'll often eat that stuff as a treat.
Yeah.
But yeah, not regularly. Also, I'll tell you from a lot of experience, bars that have a lot of protein and a lot of fat, they actually just sit too heavy in your stomach.
Yeah.
Like, we obviously had a really bad experience on our 10,000 calorie challenge when we mixed in some Mars and Snickers protein bars.
Oh, yeah.
One of which had already had a bite out of it.
Yeah,
Lachlan got, even though we bought it brand new.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get those types of bars and like, you're hungry. It's like, oh, this will be sweet. It's really going to fill me up. But it just is a rock.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like hard to train for hours after.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just too satiating. So that is even probably more important why I like to keep the fat super low. Sometimes you just feel a bit sick.
Yeah.
Like when you've had that, like you've really had like a Freddo frog or something. Something you just weren't meant to have.
Freddo frog.
I don't know. So,
don't throw the Freddo frog under
yeah,
the bus.
Yeah, sorry, that actually was unfair to Freddo frogs. So, yeah, so they've done a pretty good job there. It's not the best in the world, but it's good enough to have a regular part of my diet. Now, if we move on to taste. Now, the interesting thing about taste is that the better you make the macros and the ingredients, generally the harder it is to make it taste good. So, these things are
like
related.
Inverse correlation.
They are.
Yeah.
They are related. Now, in terms of how this bar tastes, it tastes really good. I'm not going to say it's the best tasting bar on the whole planet for exactly the reasons I just said, which is as the macros and the ingredients get better and better, there has to be some sort of pullback on the taste. But I think it tastes the flavors I've had taste really good and good enough for me to pretty much eat every day.
Mm. Yeah, there's two flavors. There's a rich chocolate and there's a sea salt caramel. The caramel is definitely better than the chocolate. Mm. But that's not to say the chocolate is bad. Just if you're comparing the two, I would probably eat the caramel more often. However, I know that chocolate is a more appealing flavor for more people.
Yeah,
but I'm
definitely
just,
for me.
But I'm just more of a caramel guy, so I just like really enjoy that. And the caramel bar does remind me of some other bars that aren't protein bars that are just out there. I can't remember the name of them, but you can just kind of get them anywhere. Or they might not even sell them anymore, but they're really delicious caramel tasting bars.
Mm.
Kind of like, you know, delicious sort of treats in the confectionery section, not really in the sports supplement section. So there was a bit of nostalgia with the sea salt caramel taste. But I think like most true products, the flavors are not overwhelming.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think that's kind of how they generally keep the taste of their brand is nothing that you taste is like, whoa, that's overly sweet.
Yeah, it's not like a candy from America, you know, that shit you get. That's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I've eaten something I'm not meant to.
Which is why I think that it might not have the same appeal in America.
Yeah,
you know?
I would imagine it wouldn't.
Because the palate of Americans, and you guys listening to this, you know, I mean, a lot of you probably don't crave sugar like the average American, but the average American is going to think this thing tastes pretty bland.
Well, it's like Quest, right? Quest, obviously very popular in America, I think less popular here. And they just try and make all the unhealthy foods with better macros.
Yeah.
Which is great. I think it's like a really awesome mission. But they're like, they're trying to make it taste like something really bad for you.
Yeah.
Whereas I think True is, they're going after a market more like us that don't eat really bad for you things every day.
Yeah.
Or didn't grow up with it, maybe.
Right. So, I haven't had this conversation at length with many people that have sampled the bars. And so, in my all-time list, I'm going to put the True Protein bar at number 3. Yeah. At number 1, I'm sure you guys are thinking, okay, but what's 1 and 2, right? So, number 1, this is considering all factors. Number 1 is the S'mores Quest protein bar. That is, I mean, it tastes and macros. Ingredients, it's not as good as the True bar, but on macros and on taste, it smashes it. Like, I don't know what it is about that bar, but it just, it's like eating a candy bar. Mm. You know, it's got the chocolate pieces in it. It's got the sugars in it. It's delicious. It's got heaps of protein. I think, 20 grams of protein in it? Like, almost no fat.
Mm.
Very little carb. It's... Oh, man.
No, they have fat. They're probably about 8 or 9.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to.
I'd just smash those bars. Like, they are... The only thing about the S'mores bar is if you don't get enough chocolate pieces in there, sometimes it's a little bit disappointing. But then again, it's kind of like eating a chocolate bar. And then coming in at number 2, this is something that, unfortunately, most of our Australian friends have probably never tried, but the Bulletproof Vanilla Collagen Bar... My God. You know what it is about that the taste there? It has a unique consistency that the other two bars don't have. Most bars typically break down a similar way in your mouth, but there's something about the collagen bar, the way that it dissolves in on your tongue is completely unique. And I don't know how they managed to pull that off. And the macros are pretty poor on that bar, but the taste and the ingredients are absolutely outstanding.
Mm.
So that's number 2. And then number 3 is the Sea Salt Caramel True Protein Bar. So in the entire world, we've tried a shitload of bars. Coming in at number 3 is a pretty solid standing.
Yeah, they've done an awesome job. Like, for me, it's really hard because I've got a favorite bar, I guess, in all the categories. Like, what's my favorite bar for health? What's my favorite bar for macros? And it all changes up. Because sometimes, like, I might want a really good tasting bar and I'll go for a Quest bar, but I ate so many of them, I got, like, health problems from it.
Yeah.
So, it's like, it's a give and take.
When you say health problems, you mean like uncontrollable water.
Uncontrollable diarrhea. And then even when I took it away, like it got, yeah, it was real problems with it. Which is, and that's the one thing I really don't like about them. I just can't eat them so regularly.
Yeah.
But like.
But you wouldn't want to either.
Probably
it's
for
a supplement.
Probably for the best.
Not a meal.
I do really enjoy bars. And a good day for me is at least a bar every day.
I feel like that's too much though.
So, well, not when, for me, not when they have all made up of healthy ingredients. Because it still is over like the course of my day. It's like 3% of my calories, 2% right. of my calories.
Right.
And it's just a ground up, you know, foods basically.
Yeah.
So right now for me, it's the best, this is the best bar I can have in my bag. Just from the perspective that I feel like I can eat it every day because of the macros and the ingredients are really good. And it's in like my top probably 4 tasting bars available in Australia. Obviously there's some more less healthy ones that I think taste a bit better. And if I was to choose between the two, for me, the chocolate was a lot better than the salted caramel, but I really like chocolate.
Okay, so what is your overall ranking then? You can't just have...
It's just complex.
I just put everything okay. into an overall yep. ranking system. You have to do it.
Overall ranking system, where I am right now, I'm going to put this as second.
Second. Behind the Quest bar?
No.
Okay, behind
they're what? They're the best tasting bars, but I just cannot eat them regularly.
So what's number one?
Because it messes me up. My favorite tasting bar is, I don't know if you can get it here, but it's an MRE bar. It's made with like, it's very expensive and it's made with like real animal protein inside the bar.
Oh, is that the one that we had in the States that I didn't like? The lamb bar or something? Was that the one?
No. So that was,
that's a different
that was an Epic bar. That's okay. Sponsored by Brent Fikowski. It's a protein bar, but made with animal protein. They're probably like $6-$7 a bar and they're big, but it is like a protein bar.
What is it? Is it like a jerky bar?
No, it's an actual bar. Just they get the protein from animal products.
Okay, but yeah, but so did
but
True.
But it's not like a meat bar. Yeah, well, like say on the ingredients list, yeah. It'll be like, it's like protein from salmon and meat.
Yeah.
As opposed to like whey protein concentrate from dairy.
Yeah, so it's like jerky.
Yes, it's like not a meat bar though.
So what blended up salmon? Pureed salmon?
Yeah, I've got to give you an explanation from us. I'm struggling with the explanation, but it's like not a meat bar.
It's not a meat bar, but it's using meat.
Yeah. I'll have to bring up the ingredients.
Are you sure
here.
They're not just fucking lying to you?
Nah.
Because it sounds like they're fucking lies.
Maybe.
All right. Anyway, while Raph's looking for the lies, we're going to move on to the listener question. So, guys, we've had some really good listener questions, but we want to encourage the flow of good listener questions.
Sorry, to finish this off, though, you can, right now, you can get the bars in True Protein.
That's what I'm getting to.
Oh, okay. But they give away free bars on orders over $50 to celebrate just for this week.
Right. So what I have is basically if you guys, two things. First thing, if you guys send in a listener question and we really like it and we're going to give it the listener question of the week, we're going to send you 2 bars. We're going to send you a chocolate bar and a sea salt caramel bar. And we're going to do that for the month of July. So keep sending in the listener questions. And then as well, if you guys listening to this, if you enjoy the show and you haven't left us a 5-star review on iTunes, if you do that, we are going to be choosing a winner each week. We'll announce it on the after show. So if you left us a review, anyone that leaves us a review, so this is not like we're going to pick the winner. This is anyone that leaves a 5-star review every week. The people that left us a review in that last week, we will read off your names on the show. If that is you, then you're going to send us an email with your address, your full name, your address, at media. At themymuscleproject.com, and we will send you some apparel. So we'll send you the apparel that obviously fits you. We're not going to send girls a extra large men's hoodie, unless you want something for just chilling in the house. But anyway, that's how it's going to work. So if you guys listen to this now, if you pause it, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, next week we'll read off your names and we'll send you some apparel. All right, first question this week is from Matt One Kelly. He says, what's going on with the title picture for the show on iTunes? That's good. That's a good question. Well, that photo has a little bit of history. I guess what we decided was we needed a look that would stand out.
Before we just had the logo, right?
Yeah. We needed a look that would stand out in the podcast arena. Because everyone kind of has their... You know, everyone's like half naked in their photos in the health and wellness space, the fitness space on iTunes, and we wanted to make something that popped a little bit, and so we decided that playing on the words mind muscle, we'd have myself, the mind, and then Raf, the muscle, even though in reality it's kind of the opposite. Raf was screaming, I was being calm, and that was kind of like the yin and yang of the podcast is what we kind of decided. Now, when we actually shot the photo, Like, it looks like you could just fake it, but you actually had to scream in my face. Mm. And I remember you saying to me, can we just get this shot done? Because it's, like, so awkward. Because I have to...
It was a dead quiet room, and then I would just have to, like, scream at you and both not wearing shirts.
Yeah.
Well, if you could just picture that, nobody else in the gym. It's always funny. No music.
Some of the best, like, photos and some of the best kind of shots in video, they're done... If you watch them behind the scenes, they're some of the most awkward scenarios and settings. And that was kind of the history of that photo. We thought about changing it, but when we put out a poll on Instagram about changing that photo, a lot of people said don't change it. They like the... I mean, I'm always open for a new, fresh look, but I think it's kind of... You know, it's our look. You know, it's our staple. It's kind of what we're known for. So, yeah, we've kept that photo for a long time, and I think we'll probably keep it for years to come. So, good question. A little bit of our MMP history. Next question is from Ben Gartland. He says, what should I look for when choosing a template training plan? I really like this question because it's such a hot topic at the moment. People want to know, or people don't want to pay for individualized programming, but they also, you know, want to follow a program.
Also, sometimes I think, you know, you just don't want, like, to have to do your program when someone gives it to you. Like, because that is a bit of a burden as well with individual programs. Like, you don't want to let down the person that's written it. And you know in your heart, like, you're just not going to follow it exactly.
Yeah.
So, don't waste their time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're not going to follow it exactly, you can still do it. It's not to say you shouldn't start on an individual program.
But I guess people just sometimes where they're at with their life, they're like, hey, I just want to, like, do something, and then if I want to change things up and jump in with someone else's workout and then go do this, like, I just don't want to be burdened.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I guess that is where most of the online training market, the consumers for the online training market, are falling at the moment. They're falling in that camp where they want a program, they want it delivered online, but yeah, they don't want the daily accountability for whatever reason. Now, there's a lot out there. I mean, there's at this point, there's probably tens of thousands of programs on offer. So rather than give you the name of, you know, a particular program that we think is good, instead, what would be probably a better place to start is some of the things that you should look for, and the things that should be kind of, I guess, the things you should look for that are warning signs and things that are positive signs that, yes, this is a good program. So definitely the first thing you need to look for is who is like writing the program, like who is behind the program. Is it one person? Is it a coaching organization? Is it two people? Is it a gym? That will give you a really good idea as to just kind of thinking, okay, firstly, how many people are going to be accessing this program? Because likely if it's a one-man band and a lot of people, like hundreds of thousands of people, are being sold the program or sold multiple programs, it's unlikely that person is writing the program just because it would be a lot of work for that one person. For example, if it's one person, he's got 100,000 followers on Instagram and he's got 17 template programs, or he's got 10 template programs, he may have, if he's not updating them anymore, he may have just written them all at the start. It's completely possible. But if it is just what seems like a one-man band, I would say at some point he may have outsourced the writing of that program. Not necessarily, but it has happened in the past. So I just want to, like, warn you of it ahead of time. They've outsourced it to some other coach just to keep it updated, keep it relevant. Mm. It doesn't necessarily mean it's gotten worse. It just may be, if you're just fully invested because you want that person writing the program, they may not be writing the program. So that's one thing to consider. If it's a coaching organization, if they're putting out content all the time, if you like the message, if you like the value that they're providing through their content, then it's likely that organization is writing the program, which is a good thing. Go off the content that these people are writing. Like, go off, is it really valuable content? Does it make sense? And that sort of stuff. The other thing is obviously, like, looking for results and testimonials. Like, they've got to have good results and good testimonials for you to legitimately know that it's working. And I would say, you know, minimum amount of testimonials, depending on what the program is, probably north of, for online programming, like 30 to 40. If they can't show you more than 30, 40 positive testimonials, either they suck at business and they haven't gone and got them, which is probably not a good sign, or second, it doesn't get results. Mm. It's not a very good program for whatever reason. So those are some things to look for. One other thing I'll probably add, that's like a sign that it's not going to be a very good program, is that this person has not been in the industry for more than like 5 years. Someone's kind of under 5 years, It's very unlikely that they've had a career long enough or worked with enough clients of in different areas to have written a program that is, especially for because it's a template, that works for the most amount of people. Because the more people you try through a program, which just simply requires time in the industry, the better it's going to get. The more tweaks you're going to make to it, so it works for more and more people. Whereas if they've just written a program that works for seven people and they're selling it to thousands, it's like there's far less of a chance that that program is going to hold up and get results. That's just the truth.
Mm.
Would you add anything to that?
Yeah, well, there are kind of two different sort of programs, I guess. There's the ones that are just like ever-present programs online, like, you know, Wendler's 531 or something. It's like a template program, but it's not like it's like getting updated every week. It's just like there's the program or something from like a bodybuilding program. Other ones like that that you can go and do. I'm assuming this person's asking more for like more like a CrossFit style program where it's getting updated every week, potentially. But either way, I would say for me, the biggest things is I like to just like look back through the program and just make sure, because I hate doing a program that I start and then I can't follow it. So I would want to say just like really, really consistent, like equipment and time demands and everything like that, so that you can consistently follow the program. Because I always found it super frustrating when it would be like, oh, it's like an hour a day. And then it's one day, it's like 2 hours. And maybe it hasn't been that well thought through. And then you're like, oh, I can't really get it done that day. Or like really interrupt the rest of my life. Or like this day, it's like pushing like some sleds outside and stuff. Like, well, I'm going to have to go find something totally different. So like looking back through months of the program and like, hey, would this be convenient and work so I can actually follow this program? Because there's not much point if you're not following it consistently. So that would be the first thing. And then, yeah, in the past, I have got the best results doing a template program where other people were like doing the program at the same time, I guess. And there was like an update in results.
There's like a community behind the
program. Yeah, I could just like see and like people were like genuinely posting. And because I've even done like the same program at one point where people are posting and you're getting good feedback, and other times where no one's posting, you're all by yourself. And my results were better in the former. So it probably just depends how you're motivated.
Yeah.
But I think if you can find something like that and you know you're motivated by that, go find that. Because even a worse program that you get lots of people's results and it's motivating, that's probably going to be better than maybe an even better technically or scientifically program that you're just all alone and you bring zero intensity to.
Yeah. A great program is when the program exists and it's made better by each user that joins the program.
Mm.
So it has like a network effect, right? So if you're joining a program where if 1,000 people doing it or one person is doing it, it makes no difference to your level of engagement and enjoyment. It's not as good as a program that with each new person in the database using the program, the better it gets. And that just requires, any program can be that program. They just have to set up a portal or a community or a space for that network to connect with each other and interact, right? So if a program has that, it's definitely a bonus. And I think, I don't know if they use Facebook groups. I know there's apps and stuff out there. Obviously, True Coach is individualized, so it's kind of separate to this, but Train Heroic has an app where people can post and interact to it. Yeah. So if the program is delivered on that, that can be a bonus as well, or something like that.
Yeah.
Cool. So next question we got. Hey, boys. This is from Mark Grosen-Smith, good friend of the show. Does BJJ. Request to hear your input on making substitutions for ab movements like toes to bar, GHD sit-ups. I hurt my back a while ago. Think about the paper clipping of the lumbar as a bad thing. Should I get the fuck over it and crush them toes to bar? Should I sub them with L-sit holds and planks? I love suitcase farmer carries, so I'd be happy to do those. What do you think? It's a good question. I'm not really sure what you mean with the paper clipping.
No, I haven't tried Googling it.
Well, all it's I can think
not,
about...
Not a common expression.
...is a paper clip is like really weak, and if you just bend it back and forth, it snaps.
Yeah,
that's
kind or it of, gets like stuck or something.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, but I think it's obviously a negative term. So you hurt your back. So obviously, if your back is sore, then you don't want to ever do a movement that's going to increase the pain or cause you any sort of pain. So that's probably number one. Second thing is looking at why you hurt your back in the first place. Was it from like a poorly done abdominal exercise? Or like kind of knowing the context of you a little bit, were you doing some kind of like combat sport and you got out of position and you hurt your back and now you kind of need to rehab it a little bit. Toes to bar and GHD sit-ups, they're just one way to train your core. They're not like they're the most superior core exercises ever. Toes to bar are just a really good exercise because they just train so many different muscles. During, like it's just a full body movement, right? So you're training your grip, you're training your lats, your back. And you're training your hip flexors, your upper abs, you know, all these things. And that's why it's such a good core exercise. And it's just, it's metabolically fatiguing as well. You do 100 sit-ups, you do 100 toes to bar, you're exhausted at the end of 100 toes to bar. You just have localized muscle fatigue when you do sit-ups. So it's kind of different purposes. But it's the same thing. What are you trying to get better at? If you're trying to just, you know, have your core look really shredded and really lean, obviously nutrition's going to be a part of that, but you're going to have to do isolation exercises. You're going to have to do side crunches. You're going to have to do sit-ups. You're going to have to do leg raises. You're going to have to do everything. But if you're trying to build the most functional overall core, you need to not only have, you know, flexion and extension through the core, right, under load, but you're also going to have stability. So you're going to need, yeah, your farmer's carries. You're going to need your planks. You're going to need your anti-rotation movements like a Palaf press. You're going to need to train all aspects of your core. And I think most people should. Most people should train a variety of core exercises. I did Dave Durante's Core 365. I think I did about 100 sessions. I was supposed to do one a day for a year. Got to about 100 sessions, hit and miss. But the amount of core stuff that he had in there, it's like pretty outstanding. There's so much stuff that you can do with your core that you just don't think of until obviously you get an app like that where it's just like super advanced core exercises and super simple core exercises. But you realize how much of your core you don't really train on a daily basis. But at the end of the day, it really does come down to what are you trying to build. If you want to just build the strongest core possible, you're going to need the most amount of movements. You're going to need L-sits. You're going to need holds. You're going to need anti-rotation. You're going to need flexion, extension, side planks. You're going to need all that stuff. And that's going to build the most superior core. If you just want to be really good at toes to bar, you just do toes to bar. You know?
Yeah, it sounds like, I think such an easy trap to fall into is like, you know you need variety, but when you actually add up your volume, it's like so out of whack. So the variety might be like, oh yeah, like on Fridays I do like some oblique work and some carries and stuff. It's like, yeah, but you did toes to bar like 3 times, each time for like 100 reps, and then once you did GHD setups for like 150. So if you actually add up your volume, like you're doing so much more core in just one plane, and like your volume of all the different core exercises is like totally out of whack. Yeah. So I think that's probably the biggest thing to be aware of is like, yeah, there are so many different and important ways to train your core. When you actually add up your volume over like a month, because some exercises are like easier to put sometimes in conditioning workouts, your volume just gets totally out of whack. Whereas things like holds and like planks and those sort of different movements just don't fit as well into conditioning workouts. So often the volume just becomes way lower.
Yeah. And just kind of like what you'll need generally, I would say on like an overall long-term fitness base, like health basis, is a hold, in my opinion, anti-rotation exercise. A full body core exercise is far more applicable to just what you're going to be doing in your environment and protecting your back and having a healthy back than flexion and extension. Of the abdominal area, and that's just because usually the flexion extension stuff is generally like a bodybuilding mentality, like training the core specifically. That's not to say it doesn't have carryover. Part of the McGill B3 is a sit-up.
Yep.
However, just doing those small isolated movements, like a lot of bodybuilders do, like knee raises and leg raises and stuff like that, I feel like that doesn't give you as strong a core as getting really good at single arm farmer's carry, at getting a really strong weighted plank, getting a 2-minute side plank, that sort of stuff. You've been able to do a minute straight of hollow rocks. Because generally what your core is doing, it's bracing and protecting your spine. That's like, you sit up out of bed, but for the rest of the day, generally you're bracing, anti-rotation, that sort of stuff. It's stabilizing your midline, stabilizing the area around your spine. So if you're not very good at that, it only takes you moving houses with a friend and you're like trying to walk the couch up the stairs or whatever, and you're not able to brace properly and you're too loose, and that's how you can hurt your back.
Yeah.
And so I'd say generally the best stuff that you could do is the isometrics, the stability, the core. That's what I see has more carryover, but that should just be the majority, and then the stuff you trickle on top should be the more dynamic stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just usually the reverse.
Yeah.
I guess what I was pointing out.
Yeah, for sure. Nice. Good question. Okay. One more question. This comes from, Jordan Bender, former regionals individual athlete. Now, just everyday guy. And he asks, after a decade of group fitness, in brackets, he writes, ugh, what does the next decade look like?
It's a good question. I think it's
a great question, Jordy.
The first part is that it is so hard to predict. Like there's like really good chance we're going to get this wrong. And I think also it's probably a little bit broad to say a decade of group fitness, because, I mean, group fitness has been around for a really long time.
Yeah, with the aerobics classes.
Yep. But I think really what he's probably getting at is a decade of small gyms opening up, offering only group fitness.
Mm.
Is probably what he's talking about, as opposed to like really low end group fitness being offered inside of a Globo gym.
Yeah,
For sure. So hey, like, what's next? I mean, at the moment, even though like particular trends and stuff are dying down, to say that like group fitness is like totally disappearing in that format isn't really true. Still is thriving. And like, you know, we went and did whatever, Rumble Boxing, all these new things that are showing up. Like, new ones are innovating and showing up and still being successful. It's more than just like existing ones and maybe like CrossFit are not going as well.
Yeah.
But it's like, rodeo's not over.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's something I think about a lot, to be honest. I see value in one-on-one and I see value in group, which is why we offer both at Creature. I think what I can definitely count on is that I think in the future, more gyms are going to offer that are purely group. They're going to start having to offer one-on-one. And this is like a post that I made recently on my Instagram, where I just kind of talked about how, you know, I think that with the group fitness and how it's sold to the market is like, it's this new solution. It's like, okay, we finally found the answer. It's 45 minutes. It's nonstop. It's a circuit. It's lights. It's music. We found the answer. It's a boxing class, you know. It's this, you know, walk in, tap your card, start 12 rounds of fitness kind of shit. And the problem is, look, there's, at the end of the day, if people are moving, they're sweating at a starting point, that's good. We've got them into going to the gym, right? Society is very overweight. It's very sedentary. It's doing something. Now, the problem is with these gyms is the consumer believes that the results are going to happen very quickly because that is what they're sold. And as a result, the expectation is that, okay, I'm going to look like the person that, you know, the ambassador that is pushing this program. I'm gonna look like them. But what do most of these people do? Anyone that is in really good shape, you know, we've been, how many fucking people have we met through this show and just in general that are in great shape? What do? They don't do one thing. They do heaps of shit. They lift weights, right? They run. They do some of these group classes. They do a little bit of everything because that is what works. What works is what we already do. It's not doing one thing. It's doing a variety of things. And I think that CrossFit probably did this the best in terms of exercise prescription.
For sure.
They probably prescribed the most amount of things that worked. But then obviously they just didn't program the volume correctly. A lot of people got injured. So what I think that most people are going to end up, or where most gyms will be successful in the long term, I think there's still going to be a lot of short term success. There's still going to be a lot of F45s, these new group fitnesses, just a lot of bullshit like that that'll work really well for like 3 or 4 years. But, you know, the gyms and the programs that will last 10, 20, 30 years are the programs that already exist. They're the gyms that offer semi-private, one-on-one and group classes, all under the same roof. And then I also think it's the people that incorporate, you know, weight training, but with this wellness, I guess this wellness practice built into it, which is sleeping better, nutrition, lifestyle. And these are all things that we started to offer a Creature, because what we realized is the health equation to achieve anyone's goals requires so many different aspects of health and fitness, so many different services that you have to offer at the gym. And Mike and Adi Kaju said it best. They go, if gyms, I don't know if they said this on our podcast, but basically what they told us, they're like, we just don't see gyms keeping their doors open if they don't offer nutrition. And I think they're right. In 10 years, if you're not offering nutrition, like proper individualized nutrition for clients, you will have to close your doors. It's an essential service. So I think as the consumer gets a little bit more educated, as more people kind of move through those fad gyms, those group gyms, you know, they were really new, they were really hot. You know, as more pop up, I think the consumer will be like, yeah, you know, I kind of did that. Yeah, I did that at 45. Well, they'll do it and they'll be like, oh, I already did this. You know, that they're not stupid. They're going to see that it is very similar. They're going to start to look for relationships. They're going to start to look for more knowledge, more relationships, and just training that's not so heavily reliant on intensity. Training that's more about, okay, how can we do this for 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years, because that's ultimately where the results lie. The results lie in the consistency, because whether you like it or not, you have to be doing something nearly every single day till the day you die. And if that doesn't sound appealing to you, then you need to like radically rethink health and fitness, because it is a game for life. It is not a short-term game. It's going to outlast your career, right? It's going to outlast, I don't know, whatever new hobby that you're obsessed with that you, I don't know, maybe you're fucking, I guess you could do sailing till you're really old, but you know, you don't need to do sailing as long as you need to do health and fitness. It is an inescapable fact of life. You need to be looking after your body every single day. You need to always eat good food, drink, sleep. Like, it's just one of those things, but we don't see it that way. We see it as like, okay, there's got to be a way to like work on this thing for like 2 years so I don't have to think about it anymore. And that is a really broken system. And so I guess the fitness industry is in the process of fixing that mentality of the consumer, which is hard because you're competing against billions of dollars of marketing money that is selling people the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely think the offerings you mentioned that are getting less popular will probably continue to.
Yeah.
I do think in the future, like a lot of more niche activities, like people want to give more things a go these days. You know, I was just chatting to someone recently talking about how like the rock climbing gym was empty like 10, 12, 15 years ago. Now it's packed.
Mm.
People are watching these documentaries that we review on Netflix and they're like, they want to go give it a go.
Mm.
And I do think people, like I see it myself and I see it all over the shop, people want to give more things a go in their life. So, you know, whereas before someone who's into health and fitness might have joined a gym, stuck with that gym for a very long period of time,
yeah,
and then that was it. Now people are like, man, I want to like do some rock climbing stuff. I want to go like join a run dancing club. I want to try parkour, break dancing. I'm going to do that. And people are, I really think with the short attention spans, are going to give up on things like pretty quickly. So they'll do things and they'll get a lot out of it and they'll be like, cool, I don't need to become a pro in BJJ, but I do definitely want to give it a go once and like see what it's like. So like BJJ gyms, people will be doing that for a period of time. They might want to try something else. Might want to give like a triathlon a go. Might want to give like some CrossFit high intensity training a go. And I think there'll be like more and more, and we've already seen it, just different offerings. And people will give, maybe their routine will be like yoga this many days a week, something else for this many days a week. Or maybe they'll just do a block of one thing for a couple of years and they'll go on to the next thing. Don't think that's super bad. I think it's pretty cool because you do get a taste of a lot of things. And it's often how it goes, which is that like you get really good progress from something in the first bit. And then when you really try and get excellent at something, it's where a lot of the drawbacks start to fall in.
Yeah.
Because you get the overuse injuries and like the imbalances because you're only doing one thing.
Mm.
So I don't know 100%, but I could imagine that sort of more niche fitness becoming popular and people trying a variety of things across their lifetime being more frequent.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, for us, I mean, this, we can only just do well what we believe in and what we do well. So I'm not upset when someone wants to go and try something new. I say, hey, I think you would really enjoy it. If you've been with us for a few years and you want to try something else, you know what we do. You know it works. You've gotten excellent results. People, there'll always be value in this. If you want to go do rumble boxing, if you want to go do BJJ, if you want to try breakdancing, parkour, if you want to go do just gymnastics or just powerlifting or just weightlifting, like you can go do those things. Like I believe what we do gets people really good results. Some people want to do it for life. Some people want to do it for 6 months. Some people want to do it for a year. But I'm not so upset because of the exact reason. I used to get upset. Mm. I used to be like, fucking hell, man. Like, well, how are we not serving these people? People just change their mind. I changed my mind. I thought CrossFit was the shit. Then I stopped. I just went back to bodybuilding and I did a bit of breakdancing on the side. Like I just tried different things. I tried BJJ. I did these things. Ultimately, I just always come back to what I really love, which is being in the gym and lifting weights. And I think that that's just what people do. There will be like a couple of things that they absolutely love and they never stop doing. Mm. And that they feel like gives them the best results or is the most sustainable way to do it. But they will try different things for sure. Yeah. For sure. But yeah, it's a really good question. So yeah, just to sum up my thoughts, there will be a lot of different shit, but there will also be a lot of the same shit. But ultimately,
I like that you've covered every possible scenario, so you're always right.
Yep.
So there'll be different stuff and the same stuff.
But what's for sure,
there'll be new things and old things.
In 10 years, I'll give you the exact same answer.
There'll be heavyweights and lightweights.
I'll tell you what, maybe a good way to answer is what... Nah, I'm not going to go there. Anyway. Okay, guys, if you really enjoyed the show today, we're going to wrap it up there. I didn't watch the documentary that I told Raph to watch. I watched it and then... Well, I said I'd watch it and then I got sucked up into Stranger Things Season 3, which is pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? When I finished the documentary, Netflix straight away started showing me a trailer for Stranger Things.
Yeah, dude, it's huge.
They're pushing people towards
it. It's huge, yeah. Anyway, so... Guys, like I said, in the middle of the show, If you leave us a review on iTunes, it guarantees you some apparel. We'll announce the winners on the show. You'll just email us in your address. And then as well, for the listener question of the day is going to go to Jordan Bender. I thought it was a really good question. So we are going to send you, Jordan, a True Protein sea salt caramel and a chocolate bar. And then, yeah, guys, keep asking the listener questions and you too could be chomping down
100%. And don't forget, if you want to try that yourself, man, they're very affordable if you buy a box.
Okay.
Boxes of protein bars in my house are very, very dangerous, but I do them. You can use the code MYMUSCLE10 at trueprotein.com.au, and we are going to give away more bars in the future if you ask thoughtful and intelligent questions.
Nice. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.